This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Hi, this is Donalyn Curry inviting you to tune into WCNO Monday through Friday at 6:45 a.m. for Extreme Faith with Dr. Gerard Curry, Senior Pastor of Christ Family Church. Join Pastor Jerry for a service Sunday morning at 8 a.m. or 10 a.m. Check us out on Facebook or Twitter, or visit our website at ChristFamilyChurch.net. And remember, keep the faith.
Godfrey Electric is a fourth-generation, full-service electrical contractor serving St. Lucie, Martin, Palm Beach, and Broward counties. Godfrey Electric specializes in industrial, commercial, and residential electrical service work. Godfrey Electric, an underwriter of the WCNO Ministry, is available on the web at www.godfreyelectric.com or at 561-833-3753.
You practice idolatry, bottom line, you're not gonna get away with it. If God dealt with Israel that way, will he not deal with us, church? I know that doesn't sound so gracious, but it is the act of a holy God.
I wanna be more than an ordinary servant. I wanna be more.
Welcome to Capturing His Conscience with Pastor Bernard King, Sr. Pastor Bernard is Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Bible Fellowship in Delray Beach, Florida. The focus of our ministry is to be more than ordinary servants for an extraordinary God. This is your host, Tom Moon. In today's program, Pastor Bernard will be teaching from Isaiah chapter 45, verses 5 through 12, and Hosea chapter 8, verses 1 through 6. We also want to remind parents that Hosea includes adult-related themes that may not be appropriate for young children, so please use discretion in allowing your children to listen to this message. In today's program, Pastor Bernard will begin his discussion on the negative impacts of idolatry. Now here's Pastor Bernard with today's program, The Eviction of God and the Embracing of Idolatry.
Isaiah 45, verses 5 through 12, as we consider this morning again, the eviction of God and the embracing of idolatry. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girdeth thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west, and there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherd strive, and with the potsherds of the earth shall the clay say to him that fashioned it, what makest thou, or thy work? He hath no hands. Woe unto him that say unto his father, what begettest thou? Or to the woman, what hast thou brought forth? Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons, concerning the work of my hands command ye me. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their hosts have I commanded. That's God's word. Let's visit it as we transition into our text in Hosea. Let's pray. Lord, nothing is clearer than your truth. You reminded us, oh Father. Lord Jesus, you said this specifically. Sanctify my people with truth. Thy word is truth. And this morning, God, we come to visit the word of God and ask that the truth of God will eliminate error, remove misapplication, specifically as we consider who the true God is. And God, truth be told, I know there could be people or specific souls in this room that struggle weekly over the day or over last night. And because of personal circumstances and situations and problems and things outside their control, maybe they're in error now when they think about who God is. So God, we ask you, correct that heart. Correct all our hearts as it relates to our sovereign God. You're immutable. You don't change. You're the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And the God that this prophet Isaiah is speaking about is the same God right now that we worship. And you've given us your word. We ask, oh God, that we treat your word and treat this time with the respect and the reverence that you deserve. For your glory alone, we pray. Amen. 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 I specifically went to that passage in Isaiah, and you can also turn to Isaiah, the 44th chapter, because the context of Isaiah 45 is that God, in his sovereignty, he's going to use a servant named Cyrus. And King Cyrus, a pagan king, will be influenced by Almighty God to accomplish his work specifically with the nation of Israel. And God is letting us know this morning, church, I'm in charge. I'm sovereign. There is no one beside me. To put it bluntly, he don't need us to exist. There's no one else but him. He is the only true God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And guess what? That's the way it is. And can I submit to you? It's always been that way. It's always been that way that God has been God. And the doctrine of the sovereignty of God and what I call the universal control. How many of you guys know that God is in control of everything? We can spend too much time talking about who is preoccupying the White House. We can spend too much time talking about what's going on in the Middle East, focus on foreign policy, focus on the domestic policies. Too much time, and guess what? Before you know it, you've elevated that to a place of God. You see, idolatry take on many subtle forms. It's very clearly laid out in Isaiah 45. For time's sake, I'm just going to highlight some things that I want to bring your attention. Two major things I'm going to reinforce again. Number one, that he is the Lord of all, and there's nothing done without him. I can't raise my family. I can't get a job. I can't sustain and go after a college degree. I can't be good. I can't be gracious. I can't be who no man cannot. We cannot do anything without Almighty God. There'll be no peace without Almighty God. God does everything. He said, not only am I sovereign, I'm the only true God. I'm the absolute God. Nobody didn't create me. And there is no yin and yang when it comes down with God. In other words, where you have the black and the white with God, where there's a dualistic relationship. God is not in a dualistic relationship where there is light, then there's evil. He's just straight God. But what Middle Eastern philosophies and different people embrace that, okay, there's a God of evil. Satan has never been on a level with God. Darkness can never be in the presence of God. God is who he is. You notice he says, I am, I am, I am, the great I am. I am God. Such a God demands the respect. Such a God demands respect. He demands appreciation, reverence. When you know the God of Scripture, you just don't treat him any kind of way. You don't negotiate and explain or rationalize your sinful behavior when you know the God of Scripture. To do such a thing is to make an idol. Anytime we cultivate and we create a God that doesn't line up with the Word of God, and we do that in order to make the world more comfortable with us, we do this in order to make our family members more comfortable with us, when we create a God and define God outside of His Word, church, what do we have? An idol. Because I want you to understand that word, idolatry. Look what we've done to reduce the implications, the negative implications of idolatry. We have American Idol and we got a Billy Idol. But what I'm saying is that we take that word idolatry and it doesn't carry the gravity, it doesn't carry the consequence for being idolatrous. And beloved, we're going to visit that today. God is setting the record straight again. And this whole thing about I create light, I create darkness, I make peace. Now, don't get twisted with the evil, because God is not the one of evil. But what it is that when God brings judgment, yes, it's serious. That's an extension. That's a consequence of His judgment there. God says, you know, I am one. Why are you striving with me? Who are you to tell the one that formed the clay how you want to be made, what house you want to stay in? Who are you to tell Almighty God that this is how you're going to do your money, this is how you're going to raise your family, this is the career that you're going to pursue? How can you tell? Why are you striving against your Maker? Here's what I want you to know. I think it's essential and it's absolutely important that you recognize that God makes everything and not you. He makes a marriage work. He makes a church thrive and grow. He knows how to correct and discipline. He's sovereign. Nothing happens outside His control. God, you've heard me say this before. God is never up on His mighty throne, lifted in heaven, scratching His head, but whoa, I didn't see that one coming. Oh, I didn't know about ISIS. I didn't know about what was happening with the whole Supreme Court deal with the United States, with the tax law or abortion, the whole nine. Where is America going? I'm just befuddled. I'm just outside myself. I just don't know what to do. That's not God. God doesn't need our assistance or His help or our help. He's sovereign. And Israel forgot about that. Israel, as we move from the prophecy of Isaiah, a little bit later, we move now to Hosea. And they forgot that it was God, was their God, and they violated their covenant with the Holy God. As the title is communicating, they evicted, they kicked God out. You know when you have an eviction, what happens, right? The parties are asked to leave. You're kicked out, you're removed, you're out, you're removed. And then they remove their sovereign God to embrace idols. Turn to Hosea now. Hosea chapter 8, verses 1 through 6. Remember, Hosea began his prophecy communicating with real time, what does it look like to have to be in an adulterous relationship where you know he married this lady named Gomer, and Gomer was a picture and represented Israel in their relationship with God, that she had violated the marriage, and she was an adulterous woman, and he went back and purchased her and bought her, and Hosea continues to give this message of judgment, this message. Yes, redemption, God cries out, there's invitations to redeem her, but yet right now what we are in his position of judgment in chapter 8. Chapter 8 in the book of Hosea. Chapter 8, verses 1 through 6, real quickly. Set the trumpet to the mouth. He shall come as an eagle against the house of the Lord, because they have transgressed my covenant and trespassed against my law. Israel shall cry unto me, my God, we know thee. Israel hath cast off the thing that is good. The enemy shall pursue him. They have set up kings, but not by me. They have made princes, and I knew it not. Of their silver and their gold have they made them idols, that they may be cut off. Thy calf, O Samaria, has cast thee off. My anger is kindled against them. How long will it be ere they attain to innocency? For from Israel was it also. The workman made it. Therefore it is not God. But the calf of Samaria shall be broken in pieces. Again, to shake your conscience up a little bit, get you to change your paradigm when it comes down to idolatry, that you don't ever welcome it, that you're not ever comfortable with it, and that you won't ever allow it in your home and in your life. I want to talk about the negative impacts of idolatry, specifically with Israel, and also with our own lives. As in the New Testament, we have this call from Paul the Apostle as he was writing to his the man he mentored and the man he shaped and he put in ministry, Timothy. He says, flee idols. Flee idolatry. We should leave idolatry. Don't connect with idolatry. And this country and our culture makes it very difficult not to be contaminated with idolatry. Do you hear me, church? Easy to get persuaded and contaminated with idolatry. First point of negative impact with idolatry, if you're taking note. Anytime, I don't care where you are or what season, what place, anytime you engage in idolatry, you invite imminent judgment. You invite imminent judgment when you engage in idolatry. Look at verse 1 of our text. Set the trumpet to thy mouth. He shall come as an eagle against the house of the Lord, being Israel. Because why? Because they have transgressed my covenant and have trespassed against my law. You see, this chapter opens with an alarm. When you read the scriptures, anytime the trumpet was blown, the trumpet called the assembly together. And sometimes the trumpet also was blown to warn of impending invasion or an attack. The trumpet was also blown in order to assemble, attack, and to, again, warn, okay? To warn the enemy, pending battle. There's battle coming, and there is a nation, and you, that eagle, I want you to know that that nation are the Assyrians. And the Assyrians were barbaric, they were powerful, but what they did to their captives, it was inhumane. They are coming. They will swoop down. I want you to picture, you know, you watch any some of these different national, these animal shows, whether it's Discovery or different, and you watch an eagle when it sets up or maybe it's soaring miles high and it notices its prey. Does the eagle take its time getting there? The eagle does not take its time getting there, does it? And the eagle will never say, swoop on his prey and say, oh, excuse me, my bad. No, he won't ever say that. The eagle will swoop down for the purpose of destruction, to take and to destroy its victim. But God says, don't you, because you're caught in your idolatry, you've got a little complacent, and you think, Israel, nothing's going to happen to you, but the eagle is coming. Cornerstone Bible Fellowship. You, if you are in that thing of this false insecurity because you know you're in idolatry, but nothing's happened to your finances yet, nothing's happened to your physical health yet, nothing's happened to things that you put in place, and God says you engage and you participated without inviting me, you didn't acknowledge me, and we're going to see that a little bit later in the text. When you practice idolatry, bottom line, you're not going to get away with it. If God dealt with Israel that way, will he not deal with us, church? I know that doesn't sound so gracious, but it is the act of a holy God. Like a powerful eagle, the Assyrians will swoop down on Israel. Why the judgment? Why the imminent judgment? Again, look at the passage of verse 2. There's always an explanation of the thing that's going on, of the judgment. Because they have transgressed my covenant. Pause. What nation had the prophet? What nation had the law? What nation was the covenant given to Abraham? But more so in this context, the covenant, that marital covenant that Hosea's been talking about, the union of God and Israel, she had violated. She's been treacherous against her covenant, against her God. And because, notice, he said, you trespass against me. You didn't trespass against what the rules of the Baptists, the rules of the Catholics, the rules of the Episcopalians, Moravian, Methodists. Name the religious group. God Almighty said, you trespass against my law, my word, and that's the word of God. You trespass against me. So again, that invited imminent judgment. Because we look at it for homework, look at Deuteronomy chapter 28. If you start at Deuteronomy chapter 28, you read all the way to Deuteronomy 30, you see that whole covenant God says, you stay true to me, you stay loyal to me, you're going to get blessings in your life. But once you move away, you worship other gods, you leave and break and transgress against my covenant, then you will not no longer be on the blessing mode, you will be in the cursing mode. I put you on the curse. And again, the house of the Lord is in reference to the land of Israel because they have been rebellious. That's the number one. That's one of the negative impacts of idolatry. Number two, when you are in idolatry, you are in what I call a ingenuous relationship. Ingenuous relationship. You're not genuine. You're fake. You're a fraud when it comes down to God. When you deliberately practice idolatry, and again, please hear me out, church, with all due respect, and with the best intention, the Spirit's intention I want to share with you. When you preoccupied with yourself, you make your own rules, and you got more influence or a thing, you know, it all comes back to that, what I learned in grammar school. A noun is a person, place, or a thing. You guys remember that lesson in grammar school? A noun is a person, place, or thing. So if a person, place, or thing dictates your life, controls your life, you have erected it as the greatest influence in your life. When that person, place, or thing is your absolute source of authority, when that person, place, or thing gives you all your love and all your emotional connection, you're engaged in an idol if it's not God. Now, let us all do our inventory. Is there anything in my life? You should ask yourself, is there anything in my reality, in my life, that rivals or even suspends my authority, my relationship with God? Is there anything in my life that suspends my intimacy and my relationship with Almighty God? Anything, any person. Person, place, or thing, activity, is anything. I want you to get your hands around it now. Ask God to get your hands around it and get rid of it. It's repentance. Notice, they were so engaged, embedded in that idolatry, they thought they could still go to church and call on God's name and call themselves a Christian. Look at it. Israel shall cry to me, my God, we know thee. In other words, Israel made a pretense of devotion. Israel conducted themselves like, we got church programs, we got mission programs, we got activity, we engage in the community. Yes, those things should be an extension of a church that's thriving and growing. But here's the key. If you think that those things can be in place and the people that are in charge of that place of worship, the people that are in place there and they don't know God and they're engaged in idolatry, I submit to you with all due respect, God is not there. They called on me, God says. They profess that they know me. Remind me what Jesus said in Matthew, remember? And in Matthew chapter 7, what did Jesus say? Around verse 21. Not everyone that say to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that do the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out devils? Have we not done wondrous work? And you don't ever want to hear these words when your life is over. You don't ever want to hear the master say. You don't ever want to hear Jesus say these words to you that will weigh with you for eternity. The words, you don't ever want to hear these words that countless millions and millions of years in eternity, you will always hear, depart from me, I never knew you. Hold up, God. You want to see my Baptist card? Wait a minute, God. I belong to this denomination, and we did this kind of a work, and I've done this. God, when you were doing all those things, you did it for yourself. You love the attention. You love the person standing behind a podium talk about what you gave and what you did and what you are doing. You're embracing all the credit. And God says, you went and noble thing, a good thing, make sure that people can get drinking waters in disenfranchised countries. Make sure that they were getting their shots and there was some, you know, communicating medical information, making sure that they get medical supplies. Please be careful of the motive, because if it's not for Almighty God, it's a big zero. God says, I ain't know you. You even gave me these weak prayers. You prayed and asked me to bless you. I don't even know you. That's what he's saying. I don't know you. You can cite the Shema, you can quote this and that, but God says, I don't even know you. That's what he said, Israel, they in verse 2, they cry out to me. What happened, Pastor? Again, they pretended. They didn't have a real relationship with God. They had profession, but it was just lip service. It was just lip service. How do you know, Pastor? Because actions speak louder than words. We show up on Sunday. We show up on a Saturday night. We show up on Wednesday. But when I look at your life, and I look at the consistency of decision making, and I look at the consistency of a mindset that you enjoy. However, I can tell right now God is saying, you don't know me, but you're good in your religion.
We thank you for joining us today for the first part of Pastor Bernard's message, The Eviction of God in the Embracing of Idolatry. In today's message, Pastor discussed two grave consequences of idolatry. Idolatry invites the judgment of God, and idolatry is the mark of fraudulent relationship with God. Idolatry encourages religious behavior rather than a relationship with God. Only a sincere relationship with God will result in our salvation. To learn more about having a relationship with God, visit our website at cbfdelray.org. We invite you to join us for the continuation of this message during our next program on Saturday at 1 p.m. Capturing His Conscience is the ministry of Cornerstone Bible Fellowship in Delray Beach, Florida. This ministry is supported by listeners like you. If Capturing His Conscience has been a blessing to you, please prayerfully consider visiting our website and making a donation to support this work of the Lord. Until next time, this is Tom Moon encouraging you to be more than an ordinary servant for an extraordinary God.